After conferring this morning with the Homeland Security Council, the decision has been made to increase the threat condition designation currently classified at elevated risk, to increase that threat condition designation to the high risk category. This decision for an increased threat condition designation is based on specific intelligence received and analyzed by the full intelligence community.
The Germans and the French have a proposal, which they talked about again today, which would put United Nations troops in Iraq, triple the number of inspectors, and give inspections a longer time. Could you accept that proposal?
The issue is not more inspectors. The issue is compliance on the part of Saddam Hussein. If he complies, if he does what he's supposed to do and tells us where the anthrax went, where did the botulinum toxin go, where did all the missiles go, where's the mustard gas, where are all of the documents you've been hiding? If he complies, then that can be done with a handful of inspectors. But if he is not complying, tripling the numbers of inspectors doesn't deal with the issue.
As you remember, in 1991, the Persian Gulf War, the Kuwaiti ambassador to the U.S.'s daughter came forward with a fake story. There were suggestions of satellite photos showing 250,000 Iraqi troops on the Saudi border, which the St. Petersburg Times demonstrated was not correct. And now this headline about Britain's intelligence dossier. Britain admits that much of its report on Iraq came from magazines. Are you concerned that there's a sloppiness with evidence and a rush to war?
No, I don't think so. I think Britain stands behind its document. They have acknowledged that they use other sources that they didn't acknowledge or attribute. But I think the document stands up well because it describes a pattern of deceit on the part of the Iraqis that is not just a pattern of deceit that exists today, but has existed for many years.
In the event that force is used, and after the dust settles, and the world press and others can go in and assess the situation, is it your judgment that there will be clearly caches of weapons of mass destruction which will dispel any doubt that the United States and such other nations that joined in the use of force did the right thing at the right time?
Sir, I think we will find caches of weapons of mass destruction. Absolutely.
Is the U.S. military ready to go against Iraq?
Yes.
Are you and your folks planning for a ferocious war? I mean, an all-out defense by the Iraqi military?
The task of war planners is to plan for every conceivable contingency, and they are doing that, from the most pessimistic to the most optimistic.
America's interests in security and America's belief in liberty both lead in the same direction, to a free and peaceful Iraq. A new regime in Iraq would serve as a dramatic and inspiring example of freedom for other nations in the region. America will seize every opportunity in pursuit of peace and the end of the present regime in Iraq would create such an opportunity. We will make this an age of progress and liberty. Free people will set the course of history, and free people will keep the peace of the world.
Some of the higher-end predictions that we have been hearing recently, such as the notion that it will take several hundred thousand U.S. troops to provide stability in post-Saddam Iraq, are wildly off the mark. These are Arabs, 23 million of the most educated people in the Arab world, who are going to welcome us as liberators. And when that message gets out to the whole Arab world, it is going to be a powerful counter to Osama bin Laden.
The question is not how much more time should be allowed for inspections. The question is not how many more inspectors should be sent in. The question simply is, has Saddam Hussein made a strategic decision, a political decision, that he will give up these horrible weapons of mass destruction and stop what he's been doing for all these many years? That's the question. There is no other question. Everything else is secondary or tertiary. That's the issue.
President Bush is about to meet with reporters in the East Room of the White House. This is only the second time he's scheduled a formal news conference in prime time, and it comes as pre-invasion operations are underway by U.S. military forces on the ground and in the air inside Iraq. Thank you.
Good evening. I'm pleased to take your questions tonight and to discuss with the American people the serious matters facing our country and the world.
Sir, if you haven't already made the choice to go to war, can you tell us what you're waiting to hear or see before you do make that decision? And if I may, during the recent demonstrations, many of the protesters suggested that the U.S. was a threat to peace, which prompted you to wonder out loud why they didn't see Saddam Hussein as a threat to peace. I wonder why you think so many people around the world take a different view of the threat that Saddam Hussein poses than you and your allies.
I recognize there are people who don't like war. I don't like war. I wish that Saddam Hussein had listened to the demands of the world and disarmed. Nobody likes war. The only thing I can do is assure the loved ones of those who wear our uniform that if we have to go to war, if war is upon us because Saddam Hussein has made that choice, we will have the best equipment available for our troops, the best plan available for victory, and we will respect innocent life in Iraq.
Mr. President, you have, and your top advisors, notably Secretary of State Powell, have repeatedly said that we have shared with our allies all the current up-to-date intelligence information that proves the imminence of the threat we face from Saddam Hussein. If all these nations, all of them are normal allies, have access to the same intelligence information, why is it that they are reluctant to think that the threat is so real, so imminent, that we need to move to the brink of war now?
We do share a lot of intelligence with nations which may or may not agree with us in the Security Council as to how to deal with Saddam Hussein and his threats. I think the threat is real. And so do a lot of other people in my government. But I meant what I said. This is the last phase of diplomacy. A little bit more time. Saddam Hussein has had 12 years to disarm.
Sir, how would you answer your critics who say that they think this is somehow personal? As Senator Kennedy put it tonight, he said your fixation with Saddam Hussein is making the world a more dangerous place.
My job is to protect America, and that's exactly what I'm going to do. People can ascribe all kinds of intentions. I swore to protect and defend the Constitution. That's what I swore to do. Put my hand on the Bible and took that oath. And that's exactly what I am going to do.
In the past several weeks, your policy on Iraq has generated opposition from the governments of France, Russia, China, Germany, Turkey, the Arab League, and many other countries, opened a rift at NATO and at the UN, and drawn millions of ordinary citizens around the world into the streets in anti-war protests. What went wrong that so many governments and peoples around the world now not only disagree with you very strongly, but see the U.S. under your leadership as an arrogant power?
I think you'll see when it's all said and done, if we have to use force, a lot of nations will be with us. Iraq will serve as a catalyst for change, positive change. So there's a lot more at stake than just American security and the security of people close by Saddam Hussein. Freedom is at stake as well, and I take that very seriously.
Mr. President, there are a lot of people in this country, as much as half by polling standards, who agree that he should be disarmed, who listen to you say that you have the evidence, but who feel they haven't seen it, and who still wonder why blood has to be shed if he hasn't attacked us.
If they believe he should be disarmed, and he's not going to disarm, There's only one way to disarm him. And that happens to be my last choice, the use of force.
Mr. President, millions of Americans can recall a time when leaders from both parties set this country on a mission of regime change in Vietnam. 50,000 Americans died. The regime is still there in Hanoi, and it hasn't harmed or threatened a single American in the 30 years since the war ended. What can you say tonight, sir, to the sons and the daughters of the Americans who served in Vietnam to assure them that you will not lead this country down a similar path in Iraq?
That's a great question. Our mission is clear in Iraq. Should we have to go in, our mission is very clear. Disarmament. And in order to disarm, it will mean regime change. I'm confident we'll be able to achieve that objective in a way that minimizes the loss of life. No doubt there's risks with any military operation, I know that. But it's very clear what we intend to do.
Mr. President, are you worried that the United States might be viewed as defiant of the United Nations if you went ahead with military action without specific and explicit authorization from the UN?
No. I'm not worried about that. When it comes to our security, we really don't need anybody's permission.
Mr. President, as the nation is at odds over war, with many organizations like the Congressional Black Caucus pushing for continued diplomacy through the UN, how is your faith guiding you?
My faith sustains me because I pray daily. I pray for guidance and wisdom and strength. If we were to commit our troops, I would pray for their safety. And I would pray for the safety of innocent Iraqi lives as well.
As you know, not everyone shares your optimistic vision of how this might play out. Do you ever worry, maybe in the wee small hours, that you might be wrong and they might be right in thinking that this could lead to more terrorism, more anti-American sentiment, more instability in the Middle East?
I think, first of all, it's hard to envision more terror on America than September the 11th, 2001. We did nothing to provoke that terrorist attack. It came upon us because there's an enemy which hates America. They hate what we stand for. We love freedom and we're not changing. I think of the risks. I've calculated the cost of inaction versus the cost of action. And I'm firmly convinced if we have to, we will act in the name of peace and in the name of freedom.
Mr. President, as you said, the Security Council faces a vote next week on a resolution implicitly authorizing an attack on Iraq. Will you call for a vote on that resolution, even if you aren't sure you have the vote?
Yes. Well, first, I don't think it basically says that he's in defiance of 1441. That's what the resolution says. And it's hard to believe anybody saying he isn't in defiance of 1441, because 1441 said he must disarm. And yes, we'll call for a vote. No matter what the whip count is, we're calling for the vote. We want to see people stand up and say what their opinion is about Saddam Hussein and the utility of the United Nations Security Council. And so, you bet.
During the 2000 campaign, you were on the program and we were talking about the Persian Gulf War and looking back, and I asked whether you had any regrets about taking Saddam out at that time. And you said no, and then you added this, and I want to talk about it. Let's watch.
Conversations I had with leaders in the region afterwards, they all supported the decision that was made not to go to Baghdad. They were concerned that we not get into a position where we shifted, instead of being the leader of an international coalition to roll back Iraqi aggression, to one in which we were an imperialist power willy-nilly moving into capitals in that part of the world, taking down governments.
Imperialist power moving willy-nilly, taking down governments. Is that how we're going to be perceived this time?
Well, I hope not, Tim. And of course, in 91, there was a general consensus that we'd gone as far as we should, that we'd achieved our objectives when we liberated Kuwait.
If your analysis is not correct, then we're not treated as liberators, but as conquerors, and the Iraqis begin to resist, particularly in Baghdad, do you think the American people are prepared for a long, costly, and bloody battle with significant American casualties?
I don't think it's likely to unfold that way, Tim, because I really do believe we will be greeted as liberators.
Why not just keep the pressure on, keep the troops there, keep the threat going, and continue to let the inspectors destroy weapons?
Because we know you can't keep the troops there forever. And right now, without a strategic decision on the part of Saddam Hussein to comply, I'm as sure as of anything I've ever been sure of, if the pressure comes off, he will go back to his old pattern of behavior.
Have you effectively given up trying to get 9 affirmative votes among the 15 members of the Security Council?
I don't want to rule out any option that might be available to us right now, because this is what the leaders are discussing in the Azores this afternoon.
So is it still possible there might yet be another UN Security Council vote?
It is the option, one of the options that is available.
We've had a really good discussion. We concluded that tomorrow is a moment of truth for the world. Many nations have voiced a commitment to peace and security, and now they must demonstrate that commitment to peace and security in the only effective way, by supporting the immediate and unconditional disarmament of Saddam Hussein.
From the perspective of the security of the world, we cannot simply go back to the Security Council for this discussion to be superseded by that discussion to be superseded by another discussion.
When you say tomorrow is a moment of truth, does that mean tomorrow is the last day that the resolution can be voted up or down, and at the end of the day tomorrow, one way or another, the diplomatic window has closed?
That's what I'm saying.
Thank you, sir.
Earlier today, Britain and the U.S. gave up their bid to win new authorization for action against Iraq rather than face defeat from the U.N. Security Council. We now take you live to the White House for the President's address.
My fellow citizens, events in Iraq have now reached the final days of decision. The United Nations Security Council has not lived up to its responsibilities, so we will rise to ours. In recent days, some governments in the Middle East have been doing their part. They have delivered public and private messages urging the dictator to leave Iraq so that disarmament can proceed peacefully. He has thus far refused. All the decades of deceit and cruelty have now reached an end. Saddam Hussein and his sons must leave Iraq within 48 hours. Their refusal to do so will result in military conflict, commenced at a time of our choosing. For their own safety, all foreign nationals, including journalists and inspectors, should leave Iraq immediately.
My fellow citizens, at this hour, American and coalition forces are in the early stages of military operations to disarm Iraq, to free its people, and to defend the world from grave danger. On my orders, coalition forces have begun striking selected targets of military importance to undermine Saddam Hussein's ability to wage war. These are opening stages of what will be a broad and concerted campaign.